creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
On Monday, September 16, 2013, a fire took down a number of local businesses in downtown Winona. Today we visit with Amy Jo Marks, owner of Blooming Grounds on 3rd Street. In the later part of 2014, Amy Jo was able to reopen her business and expand it. It is currently a thriving cafe with live music, painting parties, and more. Learn how Amy Jo was able to keep all of her teammates fully employed during this time, the challenges she was faced with, and plans for the future. I'm Terry Tunset, and you're listening to Culture Click. We're at Blooming Grounds in downtown Winona. They recently renovated and reopened, if you recall, back in October of 2013. There was a fire downtown. There have been some fires over the years. I am with owner Amy Jo. I wanted to ask you about your experience and what it was like going through that. Can you tell us where the shop was at, business-wise, when this happened?
Yes, it's interesting. I was just talking about this with a friend of mine today at lunch, how the downtown area in general before the fire, I was feeling really optimistic. We had some new businesses opening. Business was good at all our little small shops here. And then the fire happened, and it kind of slowed things down a lot for everybody downtown. And obviously, during that period that we were closed for 9 months, you know, we were out of business. So then in the reopening process, you know, we were fortunate enough that people missed us so greatly that on opening day, we were so busy and so packed. And then all of a sudden, that spark of renewed life downtown happened, and you know, it started to buzz a bunch downtown, because talking to other small businesses in the area, they said that the fire impacted and slowed their businesses down as well.
You had another location in the mall that was able to keep open.
Yeah, so that helped us greatly. So then we continued to be able to do our corporate catering, you know, some off-site catering projects that we do all year long, and kept all my employees employed during that period as well. So we just shifted them over to the mall and kept them employed, which is nice because a lot of them depend on that money to live.
Since you reopened, I mean, you took an opportunity to kind of expand at the same time. Can you tell us a little bit about the decision to do that and what some of the challenges were?
Sure, yeah. You know, it didn't come to me immediately because we obviously had Pretty Things Boutique in that location that also was damaged by the fire. And it was something that I loved to do, go to market and, you know, carry all the cute clothing things and gift items. But looking at our business over the course of 10 years, because we had hit that 10-year mark when the fire had happened, we were just kind of busting at the seams on the Blooming Grounds side. Lunches, there'd be people coming in and nowhere for them to sit because we had limited seating capacity. So as the months went on, we weren't able really to get into our location till January because of insurance reasons. So it gave me, you know, 3 months to really kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And during that time, decided with my partner, Pretty Things, to not, you know, redo that because she has another business also. And we just didn't have the time to focus on doing that and our other business as well. So once that decision was made, you know, we decided to utilize that space and turn it into more seating for Blooming Grounds. With that expanded space, though, I realized that we would have to get more revenue because obviously my rent was going to be more and the build out was going to, you know, cost more money, and I'd have to have more employees to cover the space. So then we decided to add the wine and the beer and the appetizers. And so with that and the extra space, it's been a great avenue for us to do music and events. People do sopata parties here. Little Christmas parties are getting booked. We want to do wine and canvas nights once a month. We're looking into doing wine and yoga nights. And it's just expanded our repertoire of things that we can, you know, offer here, which is great.
It's kind of a rebirth after fire, kind of a phoenix situation for you.
It really is, and that's the words that most people have used with the fire. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, there were a couple times where the sheer thought of all the work that it would take to rebuild and get back up and running was a little daunting, and a couple times I thought about not doing it because I did have the mall location and it was doing really well after the fire as well. So, but this is kind of my baby, and it was my first location, and I love being downtown, so I just knew I had to do it.
with the fire and the water and everything, what were some of the surprises that came up?
Well, there were several surprises, but the worst part about it initially was just the horrible smell of the smoke that just took, you know, we had to like tear out the flooring, repaint all the walls with Kiehl's paint to seal in that paint smell, and just little nooks and crannies of things that you wouldn't realize, like insulation that totally smells like smoke until you pull it out and redo that. But when we got into the building in January, we realized because of the extremely cold weather we had last year and the fact that there wasn't the insulation of the other buildings around our building, and because it's freestanding now with those other buildings being knocked down, that the pipes froze, and so our whole sprinkler system had to be replaced. And that took us to March before that got taken care of. And so that was kind of like a delay because of the fire and the winter and other things. So, yeah, and just little surprises here and there. Like right the week that we were going to reopen, we realized that we had missed some pipes, like the bathroom, which we hadn't used, you know, or the kitchen sink that we hadn't had to turn on until like the week before we were going to open. We're like, this froze too. And then we had to, you know, call the plumber and get them down. So just little surprises here and there that set you back and keep you on your toes, I guess.
What was your first thought when you found out about the fire, and where were you at?
It was about 2:30 in the morning, and actually my landlord had called and said, because he lives upstairs, that Brosnahan's had a fire. And they thought they had it under control, but that he thought that I'd have some smokiness in the shop and I probably wouldn't be able to be open on Friday. And I said, oh, okay, you know, and I went back to bed. And then at about 5:45 in the morning, my friend Tori Moore, who owns Soul Sport, called me, and he hadn't heard about the fire, but he had driven down to grab some stuff out of the shop because he had to hit the road early in the morning with some stuff from the shop. And he called me and, you know, he said, oh my gosh, you know, the buildings are on fire. And I said, yeah, I heard, you know, but it sounds like it's not, you know, that bad. He goes, oh, it's over in Soul Sport now. So then I was like in my head thinking, okay, it went from back of the shop to the side of the shop. You know, where does my building fit into that whole picture? And at that time he said, I don't think it's in your shop, but he goes, there's some pretty big fire in the buildings and they can't seem to get it out, you know. And at this time I'm thinking, okay, if it was going at 2:30 in the morning and now it's almost 6:00 in the morning, that's a long time for a fire to be burning. So we jumped in the car and headed down. It was so cold that morning. We pulled up and, like, I think in my head I thought I knew what I was driving into until I came around the corner and I saw it, and then it was, like, way bigger and way worse than I thought it was going to be. So then, you know, your stomach just kind of drops down and you just kind of get sick about it. But, you know, and then you just kind of stand there all morning watching them try to put it out. And then when they brought the backhoe in to knock the building down because they couldn't get at where the source of the fire was, you're just like, wow, this is really historical, you know, really, you know, as far as fires go.
When it hit you, your first thoughts of how you were going to recuperate, what was like your first call?
You know, it's hard because you're just in a state of shock, really. Right. Like, you can't even believe it. And there's just all these people, and it's such a great little community, you know, and being I've been here for 10 years in this location, you just know so many people that work downtown or live downtown. So you just have all these people coming up to you, you know, giving you hugs and telling you that they're sorry. And then luckily my insurance guy happened to already, you know, have heard about the fire. So he was already down here and we had the paperwork going. And so you're just kind of like in this whirlwind of just like doing what you need to do for that day to get done what you need to get done. And then it wasn't until the next morning that when I woke up, it was kind of like I was laying there in bed and I was open on Saturday. I'm like, I don't have to go into work. It's such a weird feeling, you know, and I probably won't have to go into work for a while, at least to the downtown location. But I felt like I had to do something. So we ended up coming down and like starting to like empty the refrigerators and the freezers because they had cut the power the day of the fire. And so all the food was spoiled and whatnot, and just try to sift through what we could, and just had to feel like I wanted to get something done, you know, even though there wasn't a lot I could do at that time.
Are you happy now with the way things are? It sounds like it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've doubled our staff, so that obviously helps the community to employ more people. And it's just fun to also have a new creative avenue for the shop to be able to offer new things to the community and, you know, keep that kind of piece of the business. Because after being in business 10 years, you kind of start working like clockwork, and it's kind of the same thing. And I get bored so fast. That's why I started Pretty Things and started them all. You know, I'm always trying to look for new things to do. So it's become so fun because it's like every week and every month is a new challenge, because we're looking to, you know, do night entertainment and bring these people in and do this. And, you know, people are coming to us with really great ideas that we want to incorporate into it. So it's a lot more fun in the sense that there's a lot more creativity now with the space. And so that just keeps it fresh and happening, keeps me hopping.
What are your plans for, let's say, the next 5 years with the place?
Ooh, that's something I haven't been asked. You know, I think just to continue to offer new things for people to do in the community. I mean, Minnesota's so tough because so many people in the wintertime don't like to go out when it's cold. It gets dark early, so they end up going home. And I feel like the more things we can offer in the community at all these different places that we have in town, the more people will come out of the cave and be active in the wintertime and have options and places to go. So just trying to keep that part of the business fresh and creative.
What do you think downtown needs right now?
A lot. You know, I always have said this, even when I first opened, and people who don't understand business think you're crazy, but we need more restaurants and more shops. They're always like, well, isn't that competition for you? And it's like, yes, but competition is good because it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you having to keep fresh and updated. But it also offers people choices. And when you have a lot of choices in your downtown, it creates an atmosphere of a destination for people to come. Hey, let's go downtown Friday night, you know, because we don't know what we're going to do, but we know we can go here, you know. I think if we could fill up the storefronts, get more retail, a lot of downtowns in smaller communities tend to shift a little bit towards service industry because they're trying to, you know, fill the spaces, or the rent's cheap because there are a lot of empty spots. And we need those service industry type businesses, but we also need retail and shops and places for people to go, you know, and dollars to be spent in town so that we can get those tax dollars back. And a lot of people don't understand that the money that is spent in a small community stays in the small community so much greater than if you shop big box or online or things like that. So I'd love to see just a bustling downtown where you can come down on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or a Friday night and there's always something going on or something to do.
If people want to know more information about Blooming Grounds, what's happening next with it, where should they go?
Our website, bgcoffeehouse.com, and then like us on our Facebook page, too, because usually the day of an event, we'll post it in the morning, what's going on. The website is still kind of a little bit of a work in progress to get our events on it, but hopefully in the next week or two, we'll have that updated, because we're going to be doing some just fun things in the next upcoming months to keep people, you know, busy.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks again to Amy Jo Marks, owner of Blooming Grounds in downtown Winona, for visiting with us today. More information on Blooming Grounds Coffee House and how it's transformed can be found at www.bgcoffeehouse.com and on Facebook. I'm Terry Tensett, and you've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click. Mm-hmm.